Now, we're going to be talking about board games, and there's a couple of new additions and weird additions of Monopoly. Dan, did you come from a Monopoly family?
We were not a Monopoly family. I don't think I actually played it until I was, at a friend's house when I was like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that was not it just one of wasn't board one of
the
games.
Yeah, it wasn't one of the board games. You ever see the episode of Carol Burnett? When Mama and the Mama's family play Monopoly?
No, I haven't.
They did a few of those where it was like, you know, because you know Mama's family, obviously. Vicki Lawrence played Mama, and Carol Burnett played Eunice, Harvey Korman, you know, all that stuff. Well, on the show, they did a few sketches, not just Monopoly, did a few sketches of them playing different board games. And it was always really funny. It was always really hilarious because, you know, some families and people take those games very seriously and because people are very, very, very competitive and take it very seriously. Now, there's a new edition of Monopoly that encourages you to scam everyone. So, here's the story. I love this story, by the way. I think this is fantastic. If you want to, this is the version of a Monopoly and it encourages you to scam everybody. Anyone who has played Hasbro's Monopoly knows it's easy to be victimized by unscrupulous players. People can and will swipe money from the bank, move forward or behind one space to land on a more favorable square, or outright lie about the rules to someone unfamiliar with the game. Previously, such actions might make you reconsider your friendships. Now, you may have to go to the same extremes just to stay competitive. According to Insider, Hasbro's newest version of the game, Monopoly Cheaters Edition, actually rewards unethical behavior. Only in today's environment would this be, you know what I mean? It is the perfect game for what's happening in the world right now. The Cheaters Edition game board will look similar to the classic Monopoly with one significant change. 5 cheat cards will be in play during each game. These cards are designed to encourage players to undermine each other through deceptive tricks like quietly adding hotels without paying, stealing currency, and collecting rent on another person's property. And there's one other significant change. This version of the game doesn't have a designated banker, making the redistribution of your illicit funds that much easier. That was always the thing. Who wanted to be the banker? I never wanted to be the banker. Never. If you succeed at pulling off a cheat unnoticed, you'll be rewarded with extra cash or property. But there are consequences if you get caught, including being forced to wear a plastic handcuff affixed to your affixed to the game board. According to Jonathan Berkowitz, Senior Vice President of Marketing at Hasbro, the new edition was inspired by surveys of players who admitted to dishonest game strategies. A recent study conducted by Hasbro revealed that nearly half of the game players attempted to cheat during Monopoly games. So in 2018, Berkowitz said, we decided to give fans what they've been craving all along, a Monopoly game that actually encourages cheating. Monopoly Cheaters Edition is due out this fall. It's going to retail for $19.99. I think that's fantastic. I think that's hilarious. I like the whole, like, sneaking in hotels without people looking, putting hotels on your property without people looking. So that's pretty cool. You got to put a plastic handcuff. This is just ridiculous. So, Dan, do you know anybody who cheats at Monopoly?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to, right? Or the game lasts for 15 hours. I mean, or at a point you're like, all right, it's fine. Just do it.
Yeah, whatever. Don't go to jail. Just whatever. So that's the new edition of Monopoly. It encourages you to cheat. So it's the Cheaters Edition. That sounds great. If you guys want to jump in here, we're talking board games. If you ever cheated at Monopoly, did you have somebody who was a cheater? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Now, here are more editions, special editions of Monopoly that have been around over the years. You know, they have all kinds of special editions of games. You know, there's special editions of Clue, and there's special editions, obviously, of Trivial Pursuit and all kinds of stuff. I have the SNL Trivial Pursuit that, again, nobody will play with me. I also have the Seinfeld Trivial Pursuit and the Seinfeld Scene It, and nobody will play that with me either because I've seen every episode of Seinfeld 17,000 times and kind of know the dialogue for every one of them. So, but there are different editions of Monopoly, and here are some of them. The .com edition. You ever play the .com edition, Dan?
Can't say that I have.
The dot-com edition. In 2000, just before the end of the dot-com boom, Hasbro published dot-com Monopoly. Boardwalk was Yahoo, costing $400 million, and Park Place was Excite at Home. Oh, really? $350 million. Not dot-com edition, not too good at predicting what... I mean, the Yahoo was good. That was good. Don't you think Park Place should have been Google?
Well, you know, at that point, Yahoo was probably the big giant. Google was a young upstart.
Exactly, in 2000.
I'm surprised that Netscape didn't make an appearance.
MySpace. The $350 million, that was your Park Place. You know, what's amazing, you know that I'm a, obviously, Dan, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm a big fan of George Romero and his movies.
I had heard.
He made a movie in 2008 called Diary of the Dead, which was kind of a reboot of the whole zombie genre, but updated. And, you know, it was like a found footage movie and way ahead of its time. A movie that was way, way, way ahead of its time, considering what social media is now. George Romero, that was 2008. And what's happening now is happening in that movie. The problem, though, is that the posting that the filmmaker does as they are documenting what's happening as the zombie apocalypse is upon us, modern times, George chose MySpace. So that's it. When you're watching the movie now, everything is absolutely prescient, and it's right, and what's happening on social media and on the internet right now, George, he predicted it, and unfortunately, he chose MySpace. And every time you watch it, when they're uploading a video, it's like, oh, George, it's MySpace. Ugh. So, anyway, yeah, that was before Facebook, I guess. 2008, Facebook was around in 2008, but George went with MySpace, because the film was shot...
MySpace was definitely more popular in 2008.
Yeah, I mean, well, the film was shot in 2007. I think in the middle of, like spring of 2007 was released at the beginning of 2008. That's MySpace time. That's definitely MySpace time. Now it's not. So when you watch Diary of the Dead, which I think is a brilliant movie, one of my very favorite of George Romero's films, it's just weird. You watch it and you're like, oh, really, MySpace? It's Esmeralda, did you have a MySpace page?
Of course.
Yeah. Do you still have a MySpace page? Have you checked lately?
I checked a long time ago, and there was still something there, but I think for the most part, they've been, you know, dissolved.
I haven't checked. I had one, and my ex and I had one together. We created one.
Seriously?
Yeah. She was way into it. My ex was way into the MySpace thing.
You're one of those people.
Yeah, what do you mean, one of those people?
We have to have a profile together.
No, that wasn't me.
We're a couple.
That wasn't my idea. But we didn't do it. But by the way, we didn't do it under our real names. They were fake. We had fake pictures. We had fake, you know, and we would post stuff that wasn't real.
That's a long time spent on a fake profile.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. And you know, a lot of people, I don't know if you know this or not, Esmeralda, but a lot of people blow a lot of time on the internet. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. But a lot of people spend a lot of useless time doing things on their computer. I think that's the number one thing that people do on the computer is waste time. So that's par for the course. Let's see this. How about this? The Phineas and Ferb edition of Monopoly. Naturally, the most valuable properties on Phineas and Ferb's backyard and the tri-state area. The backyard and the tri-state. I don't know. What is Phineas and Ferb?
It's a Disney cartoon.
Oh.
It's actually quite good.
Is it?
Yeah. They have that platypus. I forget the name of it, but he's like an undercover spy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this... Why have I not heard of this? It's on the Disney Channel?
Yes.
Okay. That's probably why.
Yeah. But I remember seeing it a few times and thinking it's fun. It kind of, it's along the lines of, you know, it has those kind of adult jokes that it flies over the
kids' heads. So does it work a little like SpongeBob?
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah. Okay. Phineas and Ferb. We'll have to look that up. Okay, and here's the most expensive properties in the special edition of Monopoly Games, the Elvis 25th Anniversary Edition. Graceland is Boardwalk. The number two spot is Viva Las Vegas, baby, on the board. Esmeralda, would you buy the Monopoly Cheating Edition so that you could cheat?
No.
It encourages cheating.
Couldn't you just use the regular board well, and just cheat?
Yeah, but this one gives you rewards for cheating.
Oh, I see.
It's actually called Monopoly the Cheater's Edition.
I don't like when it's included in the rules to cheat, because yeah. That's not really cheating anymore, is it?
But you can get caught cheating, and then there's punishments. As opposed to, sneaking hotels on the board without people seeing you. Let's see. Carrie says, can one of these cheating Monopoly cards be used when you get pulled over by the cops, like that You Big Dummy story? Oh, there you go. There it is. 309 area code says, Monopoly was invented by a lady from Macomb, Illinois, and it was originally called the Landlord Game. It's a catchy title. Hey, everybody, let's play the Landlord Game. All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, we got more special edition Monopoly games. And what board games did you guys love? 312-981-7200. That's all coming up right here on WGN. Yeah, man. Welcome back. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. The regular Friday features are coming up. You Big Dummy, a fresh slate of new 2018 dummies ready to go. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies and Fly Jams Friday, the special anti-Valentine's Day edition. Stay warm, stay dry, stay in if you can. And if you have to go out and travel, be very, very, very careful. The roads are really messy. I'm looking at Michigan Avenue right now, and it's you can barely see the actual street. So the snow will continue, and we will continue to follow everything that's happening weather-wise. Just keep it tuned right here, and just hibernate if you can. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We are talking about board games and different editions of games, and Monopoly in particular. And talking about some of the board games, the Monopoly versions. Here's another one. The National Parks Edition. There's a National Parks Edition of Monopoly. How do you determine the value of a national park? Yellowstone and Yosemite are the Boardwalk and Park Place of that version of the game. National Parks. What do you build on a national park? What kind of property do you put on a national park? You'd be destroying the park. I don't understand. You can put condos on the national park? How do you... Lodges? Picnic, lodges?
Oh, yeah, lodges. Yeah. Picnic tables.
You owe me more rent because I've got 5 picnic tables on my national park.
Maybe just tents?
Tents, yeah. There you go. Instead of houses and hotels, it would be tents and trailer homes.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of trailer homes, or Winnebagos, we see where I'm going with this, Dan. I'm screening Lost in America, one of the greatest movies ever made, on March 6th, about a couple that drops out of society, decides to liquidate all their money, buy a Winnebago, and spend the rest of their lives driving around the country and living a free life, except they made the mistake of going through Vegas. I got to tell this on the air. I forgot. Esmeralda, I was on with Cochran, as I often am, which mm-hmm. would be every Thursday morning. And... we talked about, the new movies that are coming out this week, which is what I do. And then we end up usually plugging my next film club screening. And Cochran lost his mind when he found out I was screening Lost in America. It's like his favorite comedy of all time. And he's like, and he was so upset because he's like, I can't believe this. This would be the one movie that I would definitely come out and see to your film club. And we're going on vacation to Florida. He's going to be in Florida that week. And he said, he actually said this on the air, Esmeralda. He said, I think I may cancel the trip just so I can come and see Lost in America. That's how much he loves that movie. And so then he starts going around the room. All right, on the Steve Cochran Show crew, how many people have not seen Lost in America? And he was just getting mad at people who had never seen Lost in America. So Mary Vandeveld. Esmeralda goes, hey, and he goes, have you seen Lost in America? To Mary, and Mary goes, I think I have. Yeah, I think I have. Isn't that the movie with the big fur coat? And so, so I start laughing my ass off, and so does Cochran's like, what? He goes, he goes, if you think there's a big fur coat in Lost in America, then you've not seen Lost in America. And so we start laughing, and then I thought that she was talking about Made in America with Ted Danson and Whoopi Goldberg. And I said, are you thinking of Made in America with Ted Danson and Whoopi Goldberg? And she goes, maybe. And then I take a breath and I go, do you think I would actually screen Made in America?
At one coming of my, to America.
Well, see, that's what it turned out to be.
Oh, okay.
So we're making fun of Mary left and right. And Cochran is berating people who had not seen Lost in America because he's like, it's the funniest movie ever made. And we're both like singing the praises of Lost in America. It's one of the greatest comedies ever made. And, you know, he asked Dave, have you seen Lost in America? And Dave goes, yes, several times. Take it easy, Steve. And Andrea had seen it. It was just hilarious because Cochran loves the movie so much. Cochran and I have that in common. We both think it's one of the greatest movies ever made. So we make fun of Mary, and then I get off the air, okay? And my phone buzzes, and it's Mary. And she texted me and said, I was thinking, you know, I just looked it up. I was thinking of Coming to America. And then I texted her back and said, yeah, there's a big fur coat in Coming to America. I just thought that was hilarious. And I just, Cochran's reaction, he's like, I can't, like, drilling people. Have you seen Lost in America? Worse than me, Esmeralda. Worse than me. When I insisted that you see it, that's nothing compared to what Cochran was doing to his crew yesterday morning. If he was disgusted with people who had not seen Lost in America. Anyway, you got a chance to see it on the big screen. I'm hosting the screening Tuesday, March 6th at the AMC in Rosemont. Albert Brooks, Julie Haggerty, one of my very favorite movies of all time, and obviously one of Cochran's favorite movies of all time, and I think one of the funniest comedies ever made. So anyway, and it's not Coming to America, Mary. It's not. The big fur coat. But you got it right away, Esmeralda, with the big fur coat.
That it was Coming to America?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I've never seen Made in America.
Yeah, I don't remember Made in America, but I never even, like, Coming to America didn't pop into my brain at all during when I was on the air until Mary texted me afterwards and said it was Coming to America. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a movie with America in the title and a big fur coat. So, yeah, that's it. She didn't say anything about the giant necklace that Eddie Murphy is wearing with the big fur coat and the hat. So I have recently been placed in charge of garbage. Okay. 815 area code. I've been playing the game Settlers of Catan with my friends lately. That number is number 3 on the best board games of all time, according to Red. I don't even know what that game is. Is it fun?
Yes.
Okay.
It's one of those, it takes very long board games.
Like Monopoly?
No.
No?
Like...
Oh, you mean like Risk? And
yes.
Okay, that long.
It's kind of, it's not that, I think it could take that long.
Yeah.
But it's on the longer side.
Okay.
But it's in that vein of like Risk and
yeah,
all those...
Strategy games.
Yes.
Okay. Mark the Bread Man says, I'm a simple man. I enjoy hungry, hungry hippos. Okay. 630 says, yes, you need to try Phineas and Ferb because it's clever and quick-witted. All right. It's one of the only kids shows that I can handle. My kids are 17, 20, and 22, and they still love it. Lake Geneva Dan says, our family tradition is that at the end of Monopoly, we throw the game across the room and the loser has to pick it all up. That's fantastic. All right, we got to take a break. We'll talk more Monopoly variations and some board games, and then all the regular Friday features will commence right here on 720 WGN. Whoa. Hi, everybody. Hey, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower overlooking a very snowy Michigan Avenue. We will keep you posted on everything that's happening weather-related. We're in the middle of a very big winter storm, as you just heard the weather report. If you don't need to go out, stay in. If you need to travel, be very, very careful out there. And we'll keep you updated on everything that's happening in that situation. It's Friday morning. That means Fly Jams Friday, but the special anti-Valentine's Day Heartbreak Edition, 312. 981-7200 for your requests. We will have You Big Dummy, a brand new slate. It's a new year of dummies, and we will have You Big Dummy coming up. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies as well. Right now, though, we're talking about these variations of Monopoly and other board games that you would play. And here are some of the other board games. Esmeralda, did you enjoy Clue?
You know, I never got to really play Clue.
Really?
Yeah, none of my friends had it.
Oh, okay. Dan, do you enjoy Clue?
I do.
Yeah. Do you enjoy the movie Clue?
I do as well. All of its endings.
All of its endings. Esmeralda, have you seen the movie Clue?
They played it on Comedy Central all the time.
Yeah, okay.
Of course
so
I have.
Yeah, I there are things about that movie that I don't like, but there are things that I love. One being Tim Curry. I think, yes, Tim Curry is phenomenal in that. And of course, God bless her soul, one of the funniest women that ever lived, Madeline Kahn. She's unbelievable. Well, she's unbelievable in everything. She was one of the greatest comedic actresses that ever lived. Actually, that movie's jammed with funny people. There's a lot. That's a great cast. Now, I don't know if you know this, Esmeralda, but when it was released in movie theaters,
mm-hmm,
in 86, I think, something like that, 85, 86, when it was released in movie theaters, it had three different endings. Now, you know that because you've seen it on Comedy Central and they show all three endings.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did when they released it was certain theaters showed ending A, certain theaters showed ending B, and certain theaters show ending C. And what Paramount wanted you to do was, if you love the movie so much, you'd see it three times because you would want to see the other ending, the other two endings. So now, as critics, when I saw it at the screening, we saw all three endings. But I just thought that was a weird, I mean, that was one of those, it was a gimmick that they tried. And obviously, it didn't really work because the movie wasn't a hit. That movie didn't become a hit till it hit cable and video.
I would have liked to seen something maybe like not choose your own adventure, but like you would pick, I don't know how they could do that, but to pick the ending.
Well, do you know
that you think, and then like they would do it?
Here's funny, and I'm trying to remember the name of the movie, Dan. If you can look it up, maybe it's Mr. Sardonicus. There was a filmmaker and a producer in the 50s, Esmeralda, a guy named William Castle, and he was sort of like the B movie version. He wanted to be Hitchcock, but he was all gimmicks. Like he made a movie called The Tingler with Vincent Price. And it was about this monster that gets into your spine, and you can feel shock, and it's in your spine, like the monster crawls into your spine. So what he did, what he would do was, he would wire certain seats of the movie theater with shock, with electricity, so that people sitting would feel a shock in their spine at certain parts in the movie. And that was what this guy did. He was all gimmick, you know. He mm-hmm. would hire actresses to play nurses, and you would have to sign a life insurance form before you went into the movie in case you died of fright. And one of the movies that he did, and I can't remember which one it was, I think it was Mr. Sardonicus, the movie stops and William Castle comes out and says, "Hello, I'm William Castle." And he comes out, I mean, in the film. Not on stage,
right?
In the film.
Okay.
So the movie stops, and all of a sudden, William Castle comes out and goes, "Hello, I'm William Castle, and it is up to you to decide how this movie ends." And he does the whole thing that you're talking about, but he only filmed one ending.
Right.
So they had people. fill out these things of what the ending was supposed. They wanted the ending to be, and it was always the same ending. So he never. There was never a possibility of the audience actually, majority of the audience choosing how they wanted the movie to end. There was only one ending. So he would come out and go, "You choose the ending."
Because I would think with the Clue movie.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do. You know, you figure it's this person with this and this.
Right. Right. So it was Mr. Sardonicus, right?
Yes.
You know that's one of his favorite movies?
Who's that?
Mr. Steve King.
Ah, makes sense.
Every time we talked about horror movies, you know, when I would do they would have me down to talk about, on Halloween, I would come down to Steve and Johnny's show, and they would kindly enough to let me in, and we'd talk about horror movies. And Mr. Sardonicus was one of Steve's favorite movies. So, all right, let's see. There is a bass fishing edition of Monopoly, Esmeralda. How does that work?
Do you buy different lakes or different types of bass fish?
It's lakes. Yeah. If you know your bass fishing, you know it's going to be Lake Fork or Lake Champlain. Apparently that known for their great bass fishing. How about this is the edition that I need to get, Esmer, the Seinfeld edition of Monopoly.
You don't own it already?
No. I have as I said earlier, I have the Seen It edition and the Trivial Pursuit edition of Seinfeld.
Well, now we know what to get you.
And nobody will play that with me either, because I know everything about Seinfeld. A show about nothing needs someplace. So the two, you know, the Park Place and the and the Boardwalk. Esmeralda, what do you think the Park Place and the Boardwalk are there?
Probably one's the diner.
Yep, Monk's, right?
And then I guess his apartment.
Exactly right. Jerry's apartment is Park Place and Monk's is Boardwalk. So.
And then is the jail, is it like the soup Nazi? And he's like, no soup for you.
No soup for you. No, actually, it's probably jail because they end up in jail.
Oh, that's true.
That's how that's how the show ends. They end in jail. I'm sure the soup restaurant is on the board. It's got to be. It's got to be. Newman's apartment is probably in there. Kramer's apartment is probably on there. Maybe Kenny Rogers Roasters might be on there. Or Top of the Muffin to You, that might be on there. There is a My Little Pony edition of Monopoly. Friendship is magic, but it won't pay the rent. Stake your claim early on in Canterlot or Crystal Empire. Were you a My Little Pony girl, Esmeralda?
Not at all.
Okay.
Wasn't into the horses.
I wouldn't. I was, but not You're My Little Pony. Not
I was going to say you were a brony?
No, I'm not a brony.
You were brony before bronies were a thing?
There is a Christmas Story edition. That's pretty cool. The properties in this version are important objects from the movie, like a frozen flagpole, a bar of soap, and a pink bunny suit. But in this world of BB gun and leg lamp gets to the top position. The BB gun and the leg lamp get the top position. I wonder what the play pieces are for that.
A bunny.
It's got to be,
bunny
right?
Suit.
It's got to be maybe...
The rifle.
It's got to be the leg lamp would probably be another one. Maybe a Christmas tree.
A pole.
A pole?
Because where he gets his... The kid gets his tongue stuck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Sorry.
What was it? Was it just a...
It was a flagpole.
Lamp?
It was a flagpole.
Oh, flagpole?
Yeah, flagpole and Flick was the name. Was the name of the kid who stick his tongue to the flagpole. Flick. Flick? Who's Flick? How about this one, Esmeralda? Kissopoly.
What would be the stuff you would buy?
It's a Kiss Platinum Gold box set and a Japanese vinyl box set.
Wow.
Kissopoly. And Monopoly Here and Now, the World Edition is your final one. If you're going to make a World Edition of Monopoly, you've got to be diplomatic about how you decide what the two most valuable places in the world should be. Hasbro decided to let the world decide for itself, holding an international vote in 2008 to determine which cities would be included on the board. That's how it came that Montreal, Canada, and Riga, Latvia, the two cities with the most votes, became Boardwalk and Park Place of the world. Boy, the people of Latvia came out in droves to vote, man. We got to get Latvia on the board.
That's all they got.
That's it, man. So there you go. Special editions of Monopoly. Do you ever play Apples to Apples, Esmeralda?
You know, I don't enjoy that game because of the people I play with.
Oh, yeah.
They don't. Every time I've played, they don't seem to understand that it's not just about matching.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the funny one.
Yeah.
At least in my mind.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Usually they'd be like, well, if it's a dog, so I choose the cat. And it's like, no, it's supposed to be something funny.
Yeah. Part of I love Apples to Apples. I love that game. I remember one New Year's Eve, I want to say like in 2003 or 2004, we were over at somebody's house, and we literally played it from midnight till 8 in the morning.
Goodness.
We just played, for 8 hours, we played Apples to Apples. We had a blast. It was hysterical. I love Apples to Apples. I think it's a great game. I have that one at home. Nobody will play with me. I have the fantastic edition of Apples to Apples that's in the Apple box, like the real wooden box. Like the wooden box that slides open.
Goodness.
That's because, you know, when Apples to Apples started, I had the creator on my show. Like when the first it came out, it was me and Gary Lee Wright, my old partner, Gary Lee Wright, and I had the creator of Apples to Apples on the show, and they sent us both like this, like, you know, special wooden apple crate version of Apples to Apples.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it was cool. So there you go. All right. Well, those are some games right there, and I believe I'm going to have to get Kissopoly. I got to get the Seinfeld edition. That's the one. And then I can put it in my front closet again, and nobody just sits there. Like all the other special games that I have that nobody will play. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, we got to take a break. We got weather, we got traffic, and then it's time for You Big Dummy, All New Dummies.